And now, a page from the diary of Flo.
Dear diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy when I walk by.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe it's me. No, it's him.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am not Anthony Irwin, who usually does these clunky lead-ins. I'm Harrison Fagan, his normal co-host, but I'm going to give it my best shot. As always, you can find us on Audioboom, iTunes, Stitcher. I'm probably forgetting one, but that's okay. Just whatever platform you find us on, please give us a five-star review. Let us know. Send us a screenshot. We appreciate that stuff. Let us know what you think we can do better on Twitter. Just on Twitter. Or I guess you can email me. My email is listed on my Twitter bio. And today I am Anthony is on vacation. And he just kind of, we hit the dregs of the offseason. And he just kind of said 1, 2, 3 Cancun and just peaced out. And he actually, I'm pretty sure he's literally in Cancun right now. He's just posting pictures on Facebook of himself enjoying nice margaritas and a sombrero. So he's probably having a better time than Gary Kester and I are trapped, I guess, in our apartments. And so with that, I guess I should have introduced him. I welcome in Gary Kester of Lakers Outsiders, my former Lakers Outsiders podcast co-host. How's it going, Gary?
Pretty good. Obviously, you know, not quite as good as Anthony, who's, yeah, like you said, probably just chilling on a beach right now, just having drinks and I think it's peak off season when one of the hosts is on vacation.
Next host up. That's what we always say. But yeah, I mean, it is 11:30 as we're recording this. So that's like the start of Anthony's day if we're judging by Vegas time. So, I think he probably is on a beach, but literally right now as we record this. So Anthony, wherever you are, I hope you're having fun. Now, also kind of in a beachy kind of paradise area, if you don't really look at all the other factors going into it, is Rio, where the Olympics are being held. And so before Gary and I get into our main topic today, which is going to be how we think the Lakers are going to end up in the standings and related to Larry Nance Jr.'s comments on he doesn't think that they're going to be as bad as people think. But before we get into all that, Gary and I wanted to discuss the Olympics because there aren't any Lakers on Team USA, but there are two Lakers there. So, Gary, what is your – both Lakers played today, Marcelo the Catalyst Huertas and newly acquired Jose Calderon. He hasn't worn a Laker jersey yet, but he's down there preparing for the season in Rio. And, Gary, what is your highlight for the two Lakers in the Olympics so far? Like, what was their best play of the game, would you say?
Jose Calderon takes the cake. With Spain's, I only caught the end of Spain's game today, but they're down 4 with less than, I think, 20 seconds left, and they hit, they set up a play for Mirotić to hit a 3, and he makes it, and then, you know, so I'm like, okay, whatever. And then you notice on the replay, as you're following the ball in midair, the entire bench is up and you know, excited that he's about to hit this 3 and make it a 1-point game. And then you see Jose Calderon, the last player on the end of the bench, just sitting there with his arms crossed, just stone-faced, just no emotion whatsoever.
And so, I mean, obviously, I think that was because for anyone that paid attention to Spain's game today, Calderon didn't play a second. So, it could be worse. He could have played like Marcelo Huertas today did for Brazil, who was my Laker of the day. And I thought it was funny that I saw some people talking about Marcelo Huertas and Brazil. You know, they almost came back and won against Lithuania. And They almost came back and beat them, but Brazil did. Marcelo Huertas didn't. You could say he was the catalyst of their comeback, but mostly because he catalyzed it a little bit by, I don't know if catalyze is a word, but he, yeah, it is. It's late. Excuse me. he catalyzed their comeback a little bit because he couldn't turn the ball over from the bench anymore. So I guess, Gary, that kind of counts as being the catalyst, right? Like, him not turning the ball over anymore, Brazil all of a sudden only had 3 turnovers as a team in the second half after, I think, having 10 in the first. And Huertas had 3 of those. So I think that that still counts as being the catalyst, right?
I think Marcelo just has a knack for being a catalyst in some way, shape, or form. And if that's getting benched, like, and if that has to catalyze his team, it's that's just what he does. That's why we call him the catalyst.
He does what it takes to get his team the win. If that is sitting on the bench, then that is also, then that's fine. And no, I'm being a little bit too hard on him. His game isn't the greatest fit with Brazil. They don't have a ton of shooting. And so when he passes the guys, it's not like that. They just end up kind of having to drive themselves. Like, it's just, it's not the best fit. He's so unselfish that the reason they got better is because they just basically played Leandro Barbosa at point guard the entire second half, and he was either getting actual passes that helped the team, or he was chucking up Kobe assists, which was kind of the more frequent thing. He was either shooting and making it, or shooting and Brazil's bigs were able to go to work on the offensive glass. But they kind of knew what they had to do to get the ball, and that helped Brazil out in the second half. But anyway, that's probably far more fringe Laker point guards at the Olympics analysis than anyone was ready for. And so that kind of brings us to our next topic, which was, I thought it was interesting when there was a lot of interesting stuff that Larry Nance Jr. said when he went on the Basketball Insiders podcast with Alex Kennedy. Anybody who hasn't listened to that should go listen to it. Now you should, well, finish this podcast first, but then go ahead and listen to that one. Or you can go to Silver Screen Roll. I transcribed the entire thing and picked up the notable quotes and threw them up as a couple articles on the site. But one quote that I thought was kind of interesting from Nance Jr. was, I guess he, like all of us, saw ESPN's kind of arbitrary rankings and projections. And he and I guess, according to him, the rest of the Lakers didn't really love where ESPN kind of projected them to finish, which was last in the Western Conference and the third worst team in the NBA overall. And so we'll get into that in a second. But what Larry Nance Jr. said was, all of us saw that ESPN came out and said, oh, you guys are supposed to finish last in the Western Conference. We all kind of scoffed at that because I think we're going to be better than people think we are. So we take stuff like that and use it as motivation. So I don't know if there's an exact number that we want to hit and hit number of wins, but it's going to be higher than what most people think. Now, Gary, I brought you on because, you know, I know you love arbitrary preseason projections as much as I do. And so I thought, you know, who better to talk to about this? But what do you think as of right now, after kind of the offseason is mostly shaken out? I mean, there aren't really big roster moves left to be made at this point that are realistic. And so the Lakers, their team is kind of in place. They're at 14 guys right now. They'll probably be down to 13 once they move on from Nick Young. But do you agree with Larry Nance Jr.? Do you think that there is a chance they can surprise people? What did you think of that?
Well, I certainly think that they're going to be better as long as they stay relatively healthy, for two reasons, really. Just probably natural development, just from a year ago, you know, guys like D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle have that experience under their belts now. So you would imagine they would be just better naturally from getting that time. Plus the coaching staff is just far, far better going into the season. Obviously, it's, you know, Luke Walton's a bit unproven as a head coach. You know, we saw him with a loaded Golden State Warriors roster last year. But, they're definitely going to be better. As far as if they can surprise teams, you know, there's always a chance because you just never know what can actually happen once the season gets going. You know, I look at a team like Portland last year. You know, a lot of people, myself included, had them as a bottom three team in the West because of what they had lost in the offseason. They lost 4 starters. And then when you look at the makeup of their roster, you know, there was a lot of young pieces in place and, you know, you thought they could be good in maybe a year or two. And then they just surprised everybody. Of course, the thing with them was they had a star established in place with Damian Lillard, obviously. So that helps things. But you know, I think for the Lakers to surprise people and even be like close to a playoff team or anything like that, they're going to need two of their young guys to really break out this year, kind of like CJ McCollum did. So maybe it's D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle or something, but they would, I think they need a couple of those young guys to really break out in a big way this year.
Well, I do want to point out, you did say that Luke Walton, obviously, he had a loaded, like you called it a loaded roster in Golden State, but my counter argument would be is how many MVPs does Stephen Curry have not playing for Luke Walton? So, I don't know, just think about it. If you do the math, I think that calculates up to zero, if I'm not wrong.
So you're saying Luke Walton's the real MVP?
I mean, we don't know yet. We'll see. We'll see this season. They might. That would certainly be a surprise. No, but in all seriousness, I think you make a good point, and I think Portland's a good example. Is they had that star kind of player in place, and right now the Lakers don't have that. Right now, their best player projects to be probably Luol Deng next year, and you know Luol Deng's a nice player, but I'm not entirely sure that that leads to you being, you know, anywhere close to fringes of the playoffs or whatever. If he's your best guy on the roster, especially current Luol Deng, maybe a couple years ago that things are a little differently, but I mean, he's a nice player. Don't get me wrong. And he improves the team. And I think that the team is improved. I don't know that this projection is that much of a slight on the team, but kind of more of a reflection of how much better a lot of other teams got, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at a lot of the teams, like you said, just a lot of teams are better. You know, there's only a couple teams that really jump out as teams that won't be significantly better. I look at Philly, and they're probably still going to struggle next year unless, you know, Embiid comes back and you know, he stays healthy and he plays really well. And Simmons, you know, plays like a rookie of the year, which is certainly possible. But then I look at, like, the Nets, I mean – They were pretty aggressive given, you know, what they could use in the offseason, but I don't think they'll be really much better than what they were a year ago.
Just a real quick, those are the two teams that ESPN projects as worse than the Lakers, just so that everyone's clear if you didn't read their rankings.
Yeah, and then, I mean, after that, there's a, you know, a handful of teams that the Lakers could be better than that I don't think are, like, a ton better than the Lakers, but I think they are – they are better, at least on paper, you know, just kind of initial projections. You know, some of the lower teams in the Western Conference, like the Kings and the Suns and maybe the Pelicans, if Anthony Davis struggles to stay healthy again.
Let's go through those real quick. So the Kings, they have DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay. And both of those guys, I would say, are probably better than anyone right now than anyone the Lakers have on their roster, right? I mean, you could maybe make an argument for Deng over Gay, but I don't think so. I think Gay is still probably the player that most teams would take.
Oh, yeah. In terms of talent-wise, yeah, they've got two players that I think are far and away better than any individual player that the Lakers have on the roster. But, no, I mean, you never know. It's like, you know, I guess I think they did improve from a year ago, but I mean, their roster is going to look obviously a little different. You know, Rondo's not there anymore. I don't know what kind of impact that has. That could be a positive impact. It could be.
That's the crazy thing about how Rondo played last year is you have legitimately no idea if the Kings will be better or worse for his absence.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then the way they drafted, you know, some more big guys when, you know, everybody was like, oh, they've got to go perimeter. They got to go guards and shooters and,
I think they have 900 centers on their roster right now. Like, I think they might at some point this year. It's not out of the question that Cousins gets some minutes on, like, the wing.
DeMarcus Cousins at the small forward.
Yeah, Rudy Gay at point guard. Like,
they're just going to have the biggest lineup in the league.
Hey, Golden State won by going small. They're just, you know, Vivek, he's just going the other way. So it's like that's what they call Moneyball. It's exploiting a market inefficiency.
Exactly. You got to zig when everybody else is zagging or vice versa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, like I said, anything can happen in sports in general. Like, you just never know. I mean, the Lakers could make a trade during the middle of the season and stuff like that. But what I've liked about this coaching staff and even some of the players have said that they're not really focused on an arbitrary number of wins. They're more focused on just getting better each and every day and just kind of that natural development. And then, you know, if they focus on that, the wins, like some wins will come with it. And I think that's the most important thing, because this team is so young. When you look at the majority of their contributors, most of them are under the age of 25. Like even Tarik Black is still 24 years old. And so I think they've got 7 or 8 guys that are under 25. And, you know, when you have a team that's that young, you just got to focus on the development and kind of hope that wins follow it. And I think they've approached it with the right mindset. So we'll kind of see how many wins that equates to. But
yeah, this is kind of, it's become like a Sam Hinkie Philadelphia regime associated cliche, but in a way they have to trust the process that natural development and natural growth is going to happen for these guys as long as they create a culture where everyone wants to work hard. And that was another thing that I took away from Nance Jr.'s appearance on the podcast, was he just talked about how much more of a, basically without saying Byron Scott, you know, and everything else created a negative environment last year. He just said that this environment this year and this summer has been incredibly positive. And it's the type of thing that makes him and the rest of the younger guys want to go to work. He talked about how Jordan Clarkson is clocking out, you know, by the time that him and the rest of the guys are driving up to the facility, and or like, you know, how he sees D'Angelo Russell there every day. He sees Julius Randle there every day. The coaches are out there on the floor working with them and joking around with them and engaging in shooting competitions with them. When, you know, just for contrast, I remember last year there was an anonymous leak from the organization that the coaches were mad that D'Angelo Russell was taking trick shots after practice. They thought that he should be taking more serious jumpers. And, you know, we can, who can say really where that leak came from? But, you know, I think that that is something important to focus on, is that the team themselves, and Luke Walton said this, is their primary goal is not necessarily winning basketball games this year. It's continuing to improve. And if wins come with that, like you said, then that's great, but they just want to feel like they're getting better. And I think that's important because the rest of the league has kind of gotten better around them. Like the Pelicans, like you said, Anthony Davis is likely going to be back. They project to be better than they were last year. You know, as long as DeMarcus Cousins stays healthy, I don't see any way that the Kings are worse than the Lakers are. Denver, you know, they don't have a lot of flashy names, and they could sell off some of these kind of role players like Gallinari or Fareed or Wilson Chandler or guys like that at the trade deadline. And then all of a sudden, they're a really young team, too, that could definitely be as bad as the Lakers. But if they don't do that, then I think that they're at least marginally better than the Lakers are. And then, I mean, you're kind of going through these teams, and it's just hard to find teams that are projected kind of widely to finish ahead of them that you're just like set in stone, like, no way, that team's worse than the Lakers, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you kind of look at just the teams, I mean, honestly, I kind of agree with ESPN, like with, you know, just those two teams.
So do I. For their bottom, I mean, I haven't gotten into like everything up higher, but like the teams that they have below the Lakers, I would agree with. And kind of those teams, like, I think where they have the Lakers is about right, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at like the teams, like I said, like the two teams, the Sixers and the Nets, jump out as teams that I think are a pretty safe bet to be worse than the Lakers this year. And then, like I said, there's a handful of teams that the Lakers could be better than, you know, if, you know, a few games bounce away, or, you know, there's injuries or like whatever the case may be. But yeah, I mean, honestly, they're probably going to be one of the worst teams in the league next year, but I don't think, you know, that's really the important thing. You know, I think the important thing is just, you know, as long as they keep getting better. And I think if they finish, because I think ESPN had them projected at 25 wins. So, you know, if they can finish somewhere between 25 and 30 wins, you know, I think that's a tremendous improvement, you know, after winning 17 games last year. So, you know, I think a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, if they win 27 games, that's a 10 game improvement. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, is I think a lot of people obviously a lot of people get, you know, caught up with the excitement of, you know, landing Brandon Ingram and then having, you know, Zubats play really, really well in summer league. And just with this young core, new coaching staff, there's a new culture in place, which is great for the players. I think, you know, that's that, and Larry Nance talked about that on the podcast with Alex Kennedy, just having kind of that new culture set in place, which is big. But you know, for that to equate to, like, you know, a team that's maybe close to 500 or whatever the case may be, you're probably looking at that in two seasons at least. But yeah, next year, like I said, 25 to 30 wins, if they can get in that range, you know, I think that's a big step forward.
So, but yeah, I, for what it's worth, I do agree with you that kind of the improvement is more important than the overall win total. But if you had to pick a team that you think that's ranked ahead of the Lakers, and there are a lot of them, we aren't going to list them, we don't have that much time, but if you were to pick a team that you think that the Lakers can be better than, that's expected to be better than them, that, you know, if you had to stake your life on it, or, you know, put $50 on it in Vegas or something, then what team would be your pick?
That's a pretty big difference between my life and $50 in Vegas.
Not in my eyes.
Man, that's tough. There's really like two teams that stand out to me, are the, I guess I'll say the Kings, just because they're such an unpredictable franchise. You know, every time you kind of think that they're going to take, you know, that step forward, or, you know, they're going to be better, it just seems like something happens to where they just, you know, they just don't, you know. And
they're a Cousins injury away from being an absolute catastrophe.
Exactly. I mean, their hopes for the season hinge, I mean, solely on one player, which, I mean, a lot of teams can say that, but I mean, yeah, like you said, without him, I mean, they're looking at a legit shot at, you know, being one of the one or two, maybe three worst teams in the league. So,
yeah.
If I had to guess, I would probably say them. Although I had my eyes on another team, and it might be a team that you think, so I won't spoil it if you have your eyes on them.
Okay, I'm going to throw the Suns out there, because
that's what I was thinking.
Okay, yeah, because I think that they were so bad last year, and yeah, they're bringing back Bledsoe, and they're bringing back Brandon Knight, and they have, like, you know, Devin Booker is another year more experienced, and I think he's going to be really good at some point, and I think he's going to be really good offensively this year, but their team is so young. I think they might have like the youngest average age team in the league. And like Eric Bledsoe, I don't think has managed to have an entire healthy season in his career so far, where he played in every game. And, you know, if he gets hurt again, then I don't see like how they're not right back where they started, you know, last year. And so, especially because I think they got even younger, I think at some point they're going to probably move Tyson Chandler almost as, or come to some type of buyout agreement with him, because I just don't see a point in him being there other than veteran leadership, but they're not paying him. How much is he making? Okay, well, it's only $13 million, so that's not as bad as I thought, but, or yeah, around $13 million. But I still think that they're going to end up moving on from Tyson Chandler at some point. And then after that, I mean, their roster just gets really young and like really rough quickly. So I think Phoenix, there's definitely a decent chance that they're worse than the Lakers if a couple bounces go Los Angeles's way.
Oh yeah. When I looked at them, yeah, for the same reason you cited, just the amount of youth that's on their team, and because they're kind of like the Lakers in that aspect where they're going to rely so heavily on the contributions of their young players that, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of losses that are there. So, I mean, yeah, like I said, those were the two teams I was really looking at. The Kings just more so based on their history, but yeah, like the Suns probably make a little more sense just because of kind of the reasons that you listed.
Yeah, so I think, is there anyone else that you're looking at? Are there any other teams that you thought that maybe we should get into?
As far as teams that, I mean, like the Lakers could be better than, I mean, I don't really, there's nobody that really jumps out at me, at least not in the Western Conference. without like some kind of injury or some kind of trade or something, you know, something funky happening. Because I think just about everybody else, you know, got better. Like if you look in the East, like the Magic got better. The Heat, you know, obviously they probably got worse, but they still have, it depends on, I guess, like their health and everything. But if like Bosch plays, they still have Dragic and, you know, Winslow's going to be have another year of experience. So teams like that will still be better than the Lakers most likely. It's going to be tough for the Lakers to really leapfrog a bunch of teams in the overall standings.
And then, so I think that kind of brings us to the elephant in the room, which is that could end up being a benefit for the Lakers. If they establish kind of a more positive culture and their young guys are growing, but they still finish with the third worst record in the league or the second worst record in the league or somewhere in there, then all of a sudden they have at least a shot to keep that lottery pick that otherwise goes to Philadelphia. So are you kind of projecting for yourself? Is that kind of where you're expecting them to end up?
Yeah. I think, you know, I keep looking at more like probably third or fourth worst record in the league, which, I mean, like you said, if they finished third, I mean, it's basically like second and third is basically like a coin flip, you know, that they would keep their pick. So I think ideally, you know, for the Lakers, obviously, you know, fans want to see them in the playoffs and all this and that sort of thing. But, you know, another great scenario for them would be if they just naturally get better, they play a fun, exciting brand of basketball again, and they win, you know, like, for example, ESPN having with 25 wins. If they do that and they finish with the third worst record in the league and, you know, they have a coin flip chance at keeping their pick, I mean, that's kind of ideal at this stage in the
league. I'd say that's a successful season, I think, at this point.
For sure, yeah. I think, you know, as long as, like I said, you just kind of, you know, put the playoff stuff aside and you know, all that stuff, and you don't expect massive improvement just right away. I think if the Lakers, if they improved to 25 wins, 27 wins, and they have a realistic shot at keeping their pick, you know, I think fans would still be pretty excited.
And the key there is that you're seeing signs of growth from the young players and you're seeing positivity, because last year, I mean, really the only positivity there was like occasional flashes from the young core, but it was always kind of marred by the critiques from a certain head coach that's no longer around, or there were kind of the Kobe moments that happened occasionally that were kind of fun. But overall, last year was just like a negative year. And I think if this year, if you're seeing that the team, they're at least enjoying themselves most of the time, they're taking steps forward on the court, they're competitive in more games before they lose, I think that that's kind of the ideal season for them.
Yeah, if we could eliminate all the games where they get beat by 20 plus points, and, you know, just have some games where they're really competitive and they're really fun to watch, and you know, like we keep pointing to that win total, like 25 to 30 wins. That's really all you can ask for with this group, being that they're so young and you've got a brand new coaching staff in place and just all those things.
All right, so you heard it here first. Gary Kester says that the Lakers will definitely be the third worst team in the league. So any members of the team listening to this, you can get mad at him instead of ESPN now.
Yeah, way to spin that one, Harrison. Way to spin it.
I led you right into that one. But okay, so Gary, this was fun, but it's the off season. There's really not a whole lot else going on. Is there really quickly before we sign off here, was there anything that you wanted to plug?
No, I mean, nothing like really specific. Obviously, like you said, it's off season, so not like a ton of things to talk about, but, you know, obviously with training camp being less than 2 months away now, I would imagine things will start to heat up, and I'm just excited for the season. I'm just excited for the season to get started and see what this young group can do with hopefully a much better coaching staff in place.
Yeah, I'm ready for training camp or something for us to actually talk about to get here, because we just did a 30-minute podcast on ESPN's proprietary projections. So thanks for the content, guys. And thank you for listening to the Locked On Lakers. Again, you can find us on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. We got it. If we don't have it yet, then please add us on Twitter and let us know what you'd like us to add. I don't know how you're listening to this now if you haven't found it through one of those mediums, but maybe there's a medium you like better that you want us to use. So yeah, this was Locked On Lakers. This was a lot of fun. Gary, I hope to have you on much more during the season, and we will talk to everybody later.